Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yeah. 470 days of war. Three Israeli hostages are coming home. There was a slight delay in implementing the ceasefire agreement this morning after Hamas failed to hand over the list of hostages to be released. This prompted fresh Israeli strikes across Gaza. Shortly after Hamas did release the names, they are Romy Gonen, who was kidnapped from the Nova Music Festival, Emily Damari, a British Israeli who was taken from Kfar Aza, and Daron Steinbecker, who was also taken from Kfar Aza. They'll first be handed to the Red Cross before being transferred to the IDF and taken to a local hospital in central Israel.
No, this is great news. This is finally what might be, and I mean, you know, cautiously optimistic, right, about anything in the Middle East, but we might actually have a deal. It's already taken the first couple of steps after a brief delay because they wouldn't tell the Israelis who the hostages they were going to release were, and so there was a hold off on that. In the totality of this deal, the first phase, Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, you sometimes hear them referred to as, are going to withdraw to a buffer zone in Gaza near the Israeli border. Palestinians who will also be allowed to return to northern Gaza during the first phase. Those who go by foot won't go through security checks, but vehicles will be checked by Qatari and Egyptian officials. That's kind of interesting, to ensure no heavy weapons are transferred to Gaza. About 1,000 Palestinian prisoners were released, including 200 who murdered Israelis. That's the part that I find so frustrating, and I can understand why a lot of Israelis are not thrilled by this deal. You know, it's good to get the hostages back, but at what price? And also, you know, it sort of has that, well, we do negotiate with terrorists kind of look, right? The exact prisoners number to be determined after Hamas clarifies which ones are going to be released by them. 600 aid trucks, 50 fuel trucks are going to enter Gaza every day. 200,000 tents and 60,000 mobile homes are going to be delivered for displaced Palestinians in Gaza. And Qatar, Egypt, and the U.S. will serve as guarantors for the implementation. The Biden administration is taking credit for this, and the Trump, three hours and 48 minutes, the Trump administration will exist, and they are also taking credit for it. If you go, you know, a year and a half and you don't get much, and then the day or two right before the president, who has threatened to unleash hell on Gaza if they don't release the prisoners, gets elected or gets installed, you get a deal. Then all of a sudden, like, who do you get credit for? Well, I mean, obviously pressure from Trump was helpful. Even John Kirby acknowledged that it wasn't, you know, it was helpful. Okay, so who gets the credit? Well, I mean, let's just be glad that it might be over. Might be over. Of course, the real question, if you're a fan of Israel, and I am, or if you believe in Israel's independence, or if you just, you know, love people not getting murdered, the real question is what happens in 5 or 10 years? Because, you know, did Hamas learn the lesson? Does Hamas get deconstituted? Does Hamas rebuild in a productive way? You know, do they West Bank it, or do they, continue to go down the road of fight, fight, fight? Well, 5 or 10 years is when we'll really know. 437-1620, 437-1620. That's my phone number if you want to text me, agree, disagree, whatever you want to say. TikTok is back on. Oh, thank goodness. Well, whatever. I don't know. I never used it. I never installed it on my phone because all of my friends who work in, you know, information cybersecurity, they say don't. So I take the advice of the experts. The experts say don't do it. The government says it's bad. They're going to harvest your data and, you know, propagandize you. That's not illegal. It's not illegal for a foreign company to, you know, a foreign country to, like, own a newspaper. You know, that's allowed. But broadcast spectrum, you know, or maybe digital platforms, probably allowed. But can you harvest data? No, we're not going to allow that. So the law is back. It's in effect, but stayed preemptively before Trump has the authority to stay it with an extension of 90 days. I think the real question is not what happens today. The real question is what happens, you know, on like April 20th. That'd be funny on 420.
420?
Dude, where's my TikTok? Oh, so we got cold right now. What is it? Still like, is this right? 25 still out? Good Lord. Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. That's, I mean, it's not Midwest cold. It's not like Buffalo cold. It's not like they're playing in the snow cold last night. But it's cold. It's cold if you're from Florida. And if we had iguanas, they'd be dropping out of the tree. Okay? We don't have them here. So, I love this term. I want to give credit where it's due. Meteorologist Chris Cozart from KLFY, Texas. Is KLFY, do you know LFY? Is that Houston, maybe? No, it's probably Dallas. Anyway.
It's not Dallas. I can tell you that much.
Has coined a term, the snow cone of uncertainty.
The snow cone of uncertainty.
It's pretty good. The snow cone of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. That we might be getting snow, you know, tomorrow, overnight into Wednesday. And as a result, everything's closed. Everything's closed. Ah, 2 inches of snow. Ah, how will we survive? What if we run out of food? But the drifts could be 4 inches. Look, I'm from the Midwest. I've lived in snow-ridden areas my entire life. Can I just tell you, this is great fun. This is not like the big bad end of the world. This is not the snowpocalypse, okay? The real concern is not the snow. The real concern is if the snow melts and then refreezes. Then it's ice. Then it's real bad. Yes, people are going to crash. Yes, body shops are going to make out. Yes. If you don't know how to drive in snow, don't. Or, you know, learn. I mean, it's only 2 inches or whatever it's going to be. Could be none. You know how disappointing it's going to be if it's dry tomorrow?
That's Might be happy.
What? Why?
Why
do you hate fun?
Oh.
Why do you hate children?
Hate
all the
fun.
Children in Pensacola who don't believe snow exists are going to finally see. Maybe.
It's all AI generated.
No.
NPCs.
John Pickens has non-player characters. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Anderson Silver.
Nerd alert.
I know, right? I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even Highway 90 rolling from Payson to Pensacola and vice versa. I'm seeing no delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's strength for life.
The Bible records a conversation between Jesus and Peter in which Jesus asks Peter 3 times, "Lovest thou me?" And 3 times, Peter responds with, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Interestingly, after each exchange, Jesus called Peter not just to declare his love with his words, but Jesus wanted Peter to demonstrate his love with his actions. Jesus is essentially saying, don't talk about it, be about it. When you read of Peter's life in the book of Acts, you see a man who, in spite of great physical discomfort, boldly demonstrates his love for Christ. Let us learn from the example of Peter and not just declare our love for Jesus with our lips, but seek opportunities to demonstrate our love for Christ to a world who desperately needs to see bold, loving, and faithful Christians.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Sarah, Happy New Year. You look amazing. How are things with you and Mark?
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for telling me about Wave Men's Health. We've totally rediscovered each other. Mark's working out. Oh, and we're doing more as a family than laying around watching TV.
I told you, they're incredible. My husband and I had the same experience. It's like having that spark all over again, isn't it?
Exactly. It's more than the physical. It's the connection, the energy. It's the best gift we could have given ourselves.
This new year, make the resolution that changes it all. Wave Men's Health brings you proven options for ED, low testosterone, and enhancement. Reignite your drive, rebuild your confidence, and show up in the moments that matter most.
Here's to more love and more joy in the year ahead.
Cheers to that.
Book your appointment today at wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. That's wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
The cost of healthcare is in the news. Tune in Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and will be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program as well as the 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds they now offer. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress and the cost of healthcare. Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
I've just been feeling so sluggish lately.
You should try the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge.
The Metamucil 2-Week Challenge?
Yeah, Metamucil 4-in-1 Fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Start your daily routine now, and in 2 weeks, you could be feeling great. Well, it's been 2 weeks. How you feeling?
Lighter and feeling great.
If you want to feel lighter by promoting digestive health, sign up to take the 2-Week Challenge at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey folks, this is Jimmy Patronis, Florida's Chief Financial Officer. Now, I just received an amazing phone call a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. President Trump called me and said, Jimmy, I want you to run for Congress. Wow. Yes, the guy who just won a landslide victory defeating the crazy Democrats in Washington, the guy who just got shot, stood back up and said, fight, fight, fight. That guy. President Donald J. Trump told me to run for Congress. Well, my mama didn't raise a dummy. So my response to the president was a very simple, yes, sir. I will run, and we will enact President Trump's agenda. We will secure the border. We will get rid of the woke foolishness in Washington. It's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Patronis, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support on January 28th, paid for by Friends of Jimmy Patronis, Inc.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Mom, what's wrong with your car radio? Nothing.
Nothing.
Andrew's just reminding us of the good old days.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. You remember, like, dialing into bulletin boards?
I never did that.
Like, people had their own...
I didn't do that.
You didn't?
No, we went straight from no internet at home, like, going to the library to use the internet, to
right?
DSL.
Oh.
So I never had that.
So you missed out on all that.
Every single AOL CD that was ever sent
you
to me was a coaster or a projectile.
Projectile?
So... Oh, way to fumble your mic.
I know. It just fell.
722 here on News Radio 92.3. Formative, local, dependable. Somebody says, how can they Biden? How can they Biden? That should be the new term. How can they Biden Fauci? And how can they pardon Fauci and Milley and the January 6th committee unless they've committed crimes? Okay. So.
Good point.
Okay. The way that. And for people who haven't been convicted also. Okay. So there's two things worth knowing. Number one is. I don't know if people have done this before. I'd have to look. I wish I could say. I feel like I should know, and I'm sorry I can't say. I don't think you've had preemptive pardons happen before. I could be wrong.
Didn't Ford do that with Nixon?
No, he pardoned Nixon for what he did that got him, you know, in trouble, okay, and leaving office. But that's a pardon for, well, non-convicted
offense.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Okay, all right. Fair enough, fair enough. It just, he's issuing these massive pardons for people who, you know, all these periods of time, like, you know, his son through basically all of history, the last 10 years or 11 years or whatever, and, you know, for Milley and for Fauci. And so, A, pardoning for things that have happened in the past, regardless of whether the conviction has happened or not. Is it an admission of guilt? Well, no, not necessarily, because part two, his answer would be, I fear retaliatory prosecution for these people from an abusive administration incoming today in 3 hours and 36 minutes, because Trump is going to abuse power and go after people he shouldn't go after, so I'm going to pardon them so they can't be gone after.
Kind of like what he did.
Right, right, yeah. That's, yeah, and... people who worry about that are most often going to be people who have done that because, you know, the burglar is the most worried about his stuff getting stolen. you know, and the liar is the first one to accuse everybody of lying, and the adulterer is the first one to think everybody's cheating. And so the guy who's afraid of his people being inappropriately targeted with the justice system is, weirdly, the guy who went after his political opponent with the justice system. Mm-hmm. Huh, how about that? Anyway, 724 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? There was something else that's going to matter. Oh, Trump announcing that he's going to extend the TikTok deadline. Somebody says, well, I thought it expired on Sunday. It did. Well, how can Trump extend something which has expired? He can't. Unless nobody calls him on it. Kind of like how the Milton City Council wasn't enforcing their rules of decorum because it's decided to pretend it didn't exist for a little while. That's right. This actually came up in the oral arguments in the Supreme Court. The question of whether Trump's indication that he wouldn't prosecute or that he might give an extension, whether that changes, and the lawyers are like, well, we're not quite sure whether a 90-day extension is an extension after you've already ended the time period. It's no longer an extension, it's a resurrection, right? So let's just say of all the things I expect to be controversial in the Trump administration, the technical question of whether he can extend for 90 days implementation of this law or not is probably low on the scale, is my guess. But we'll see. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, even looking good on the Garson Point Bridge. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, I have, you want to give away some tickets? I have some tickets to give away. You keep reminding me. Celtic Angels. Celtic Angels are performing on St. Patrick's Day. Oh, that's kind of a cool St. Patrick's Day date. March 17th at the Sanger Theater, 7 o'clock. Are they serving corned beef and cabbage and Guinness in the theater? Probably not. But they should.
What if the Sanger?
No, but wouldn't that be?
That would be. That,
I mean, they serve food in the Sanger. You know, you have cabarets there. You could do it. Well, no, cabarets in PLT. Sorry. Not in the Sanger. Could you do it in the Sanger?
Maybe you got popcorn.
I'm thinking of PLT. Okay. My fault. Anyway, we have a pair of tickets to Celtic Angels coming up on the 17th at 7 p.m. Two tickets for caller number 437-1620. I could make it caller number 17. I won't do that to you, John. 1, 2, 16. Dang it. All right. Call now, win. There you go. That's it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, President.
Oh, wait. Before you get going.
Yes.
For St. Patrick's Day, corned beef and cabbage flavored candy.
There you go. You just
from
had
Progresso. It's corned beef you can suck on.
Okay, I'll leave that one alone.
Yeah, it's the progressive soup thing. Anyway, go ahead, David. Sorry.
Can't happen. Donald Trump just hours away now from his second term in office. He'll be sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. The swearing in will be at 11:45 Eastern. And the inauguration ceremony apparently had to be moved indoors because of the cold weather in Washington, D.C. today. Where it's cold as well, apparently. And we will have coverage of the inauguration with Fox News, and that'll start at 10 a.m. our time here this morning. Full coverage of that. The first hostages released by Hamas are said to be in good health. The three women were freed from captivity as part of a ceasefire deal with Israel. Under the terms of the agreement, the first phase will involve the release of 33 hostages. Two of them, I believe, are American, and they'll be exchanged for 1,900 Palestinian prisoners.
That's the part that's still amazing to me. The disproportionate trade-off is terrible.
Yeah, it's the same thing I was thinking.
I mean, hostages are morally and legally entitled to their freedom. Prisoners of war and or terrorists are not entitled to their freedom, and they're paying like 10 to 1. Anyway, go ahead.
Absolutely. And Santa Ana winds that fueled devastating wildfires in California are forecast to return today. Firefighters in Los Angeles in that area are still working to contain the Palisades and Eaton fires, which started nearly 2 weeks ago. At least 27 people have died. 14,000 homes and businesses have been destroyed.
It's horrible. I mean, it's real. Now, they had a really, really bad spate of fires in 2018. I think 100 people died. I mean, it was really bad.
Right.
But man, it's It's awful. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you have a company, you have employees, that means you have to deal with things like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, handling payroll, and chances are you got into business because you love, what, repairing cars or, you know, installing IT systems, or, you know, you're a doctor, or, you know, and you have a private practice, or you're a lawyer. You got into practice to do, or into business to do the things that you love to do, probably not to manage benefits. That kind of like red tape, and it'll, insurance type stuff will drive you crazy. It's hard to figure out and whatever, but that's why you hire somebody like Torgerson Causey to come in and see if they can, you know, look at what you're doing right now and see if they can save you money, give you options, give your employees better alternatives, which is what they did for us here at News Radio in Cat Country about 4 years ago. We started using them, and they have been great. They are an excellent resource. They answer our questions. They give us choices we didn't have before. They, you know, they can't, like, you know, magically make the insurance market fantastic or like pre-Obama. but they can give us the best choices of what is available in the world. And that's better than not having choices. And so they're great. And, you know, they answer my wife's questions, and she has a lot of detailed questions. So we recommend them highly. 433-9996, more than 20 years, online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
I'm Chris Foster.
Within hours of taking office, I will sign dozens of executive orders, close to 100 to be exact.
President-elect Trump at a pre-inaugural rally in D.C. says he'll get right to work when he takes office again today. That's not until noon Eastern, though, and President Biden has just announced preemptive pardons for some people he's concerned could be Trump targets. Dr. Anthony Fauci, retired General Mark Milley, and members of the congressional committee that investigated the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot.
This morning, President Biden and the First Lady will welcome President-elect Trump and Mrs. Trump to the White House. The two couples then head to the Capitol for the swearing-in of the new president. Following the inauguration, President Biden and the First Lady will fly to Santa Barbara, California.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. President-elect and Mrs. Trump start Inauguration Day at a service at St. John's Church in Washington this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is sunny this morning, but very cold, 27 degrees right now across the area. And early voting for the Republican primary kicked off over the weekend.
We'll be doing the mandatory eight-day early voting this year. We'll have seven locations.
Escambia Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender, he is urging voters to get out ahead of the possible winter weather headed our way. He says there's no telling what is in store for the area. With the potential forecast for tomorrow, there are seven early voting locations open in Escambia County. There's two in Santa Rosa County. You can go to any early voting location to cast your ballot. To find your early voting location, just check either EscambiaVotes.gov or VoteSantaRosa.gov. Well, the first numbers coming in from Pensacola's new red light cameras. Mayor D.C. Reeves says it shows there's a real problem with red light runners. There were 509 violations reported. That was in just 1 week from the nine cameras activated so
That's
far.
That's not nine intersections. Nine intersections presumes one intersection's four approaches. You know, it's eastbound, southbound, northbound, westbound. So when we say nine approaches, we're talking about just one direction of an intersection. So do the math. As you can see, what we're really showing you is two intersections.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, he says it's no wonder police resources are always tied up with accidents at those intersections. He held a press conference last week where he showed video from the cameras of some of the most egregious violations. The cameras are currently sending out warning tickets. Next month, those become real tickets with a fine of $158. Now, the Council on Aging West Florida says they are in need of space heaters to give out to senior citizens here in our area.
We have been getting tons of calls into our office about seniors who are asking if we have any heaters that we can distribute. And at this time, we do not. We had a big donation of about 200 from a very generous donor earlier this season, and they were gone within a day once we got them, and without us having to really promote. It's just the word gets out.
Emily Echeverria with the Council on Aging West Florida, and they are asking for the community's help to replenish their supply of heaters to give them out to those in need across the area. Echeverria says senior citizens can respond to extreme cold differently. They can have slower metabolism and blood circulation, which would put them at greater risk of developing hypothermia. The Escambia Children's Trust postponed ratifying their third-year contracts for 11 out-of-school time providers at their meeting last week. The contracts were pushed out pushed back after the board treasurer had some questions about program budgets for the Omega Lamplighters, Project Ignite, and the Dixon School of Arts and Science. The board is now expected to take those up at their next meeting. That was scheduled for tomorrow, but will probably be delayed due to weather. There were about 150 people at the Gulf Breeze Chamber Ball Gala on Friday. That was held on Pensacola Beach. They honored outgoing board chair Maggie Gray and former Gulf Breeze Mayor Cherry Fitch at the event. It raised money for nonprofit Take Stock in Children, which funds scholarships for area high school students. They're hoping the money raised on Friday will provide a full ride for one local student to further their education. 735 at News Radio. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. Expert installation and 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. Still no accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly today. No issues there. Even Highway 90 is looking good. Coming from Pace and to Pace, you're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will be seeing sunny and very cold conditions today. High near 41 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping below freezing near 31 degrees. For Tuesday, 80% chance of some snow showers and sleet. 36 degrees for that high. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 20s with snow possibly still accumulating. As you go into Wednesday, we will have sunshine with a high near 38. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 31. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 27 degrees across the area. We've got sunshine on this cold morning. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Chad Robison with Your Money Now. Microsoft is adding AI tools to its consumer Microsoft 365 bundle and bumping up the price in the U.S. for the first time since introducing subscriptions 12 years ago. The tech giant says it's bringing its Copilot AI assistant into the Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, and OneNote applications for consumers who have the entire Microsoft suite. Microsoft 365 Personal will now cost $9.99 a month and $99.99 a year, from $6.99 a month and $69.99 a year. Microsoft has over 84 million consumer subscribers to Microsoft 365. Celsius Holdings is agreeing to pay a $3 million civil fine to resolve charges it improperly accounted for stock-based awards, according to the SEC. The agency contends Celsius mishandled its 2021 accounting for stock-based compensation. The markets are closed today for the holiday and will reopen tomorrow. That's Your Money Now.
President Trump wants to cut $2 trillion from the federal budget, and I have the plan that gets him there. I'm Greg Merk, Republican for Congress. We have over 3 million federal employees. I will propose to cut them in half. This reduction will save $150 billion on salaries and an additional $150 billion in benefits. We need to cut off the cash payments to illegals, and they will self-deport. I will propose Medicare reform, regulation cuts, and repealing the Davis-Bacon Act. With a background in finance, I know how to fix Washington and get the $2 trillion in cuts. We live in the most military district in America. I served over 2 decades on active duty as a Navy pilot and Air Force B-1 pilot, with multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's critical we send a combat-tested leader to Washington who understands the needs of our service members and retirees, and no one in this race has more military experience than me. Fact is, we have the plan, but we need the will. Send me to Washington, and not only will the people want it, they will demand it. It's time to send the Alpha to Washington. It's time to put Merck to work. I'm Greg Merk, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Greg Merk for Congress.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in tomorrow at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income Financial security is about more than investments. Robert's Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Robert's Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Jimmy Patronis failed us, presiding over what Trump called the worst insurance crisis in the country, while his PAC accepted millions from the insurance industry.
Patronis's campaign is even being funded by the liberal anti-Trump group Americans for Prosperity.
Like Donald Trump and Elon Musk, I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman. I'm the only candidate with the outsider experience to make it happen.
I'm Gene Valentino, and I approve this message.
Republican for Congress, District 1.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Today, Fox News Radio has live special coverage of the inauguration of Donald J. Trump as the 47th President of the United States. Led by Fox News Radio correspondents Jared Halpern and Jessica Rosenthal, alongside Fox News Radio political analyst Josh Krausar, live from the nation's capital. Listen to coverage right here as Donald Trump is sworn in for his historic second term.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's go tight.
Here we go.
It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right.
Starting October, Lorne Michaels called me, and he asked me to do a Saturday Night Live, the first episode after the election. And I was like, nah, man, I'm cool.
Dave Chappelle hosting SNL.
The moment I said yes, L.A. burst into flames. And it's a tough one, you know what I mean? Because I'm tired of being controversial. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. And it is way too soon to do jokes about a catastrophe like that.
Because you know he's gonna, right? You know he's gonna.
Burn to the ground. So many people, I can go on and on. My first movie I did with Dennis Quaid, I saw him evacuating his house on the news with tears in his eyes, and it broke my heart. And then I go on the internet, and I watch these fire videos, and I read the comment sections, and everyone's like, yeah, it serves these celebrities right. I hope the house is burned down. And you see that? That right there? That's why I hate poor people. Because they can't see past their own pain.
He's like a miner for comedy. He goes and finds the funny bit way inside the fact pattern that you just do not expect at all.
The other day on the news, they said that these fires were the most expensive tragedy that ever happened, natural disaster. They said it's the most expensive natural disaster that's ever happened in the United States history. And you want to know why I think that is? Because people in L.A. have nice stuff. I could burn 40,000 acres in Mississippi for like $600 or $700.
Oh, I mean, it's not nice, but, you know, is he wrong?
And then we watch the news or talk to my friends. They all have these conspiracy theories of what started these fires. Now, they say it's arsonists. I've heard this theory. And I'm sure there were some arsonists, but there were a lot of elements that came together to make this fire the catastrophe that it was. The winds were 100 miles an hour. L.A. was dry as a bone in the levees. And it was just too many factors. If you were a rational thinking person, you have to at least consider the possibility that God hates these people. Sodomites. That's not true because West Hollywood was unscathed. Because how can you burn what is already flaming?
See, that's what I love it because he'll get everybody in the joke. You know, these silly, my people, Christians who are like, you know, when Pat Robertson said that's why New Orleans got Katrina was because of all the debauchery or whatever. I'm like, come on, man. Oh, my God. Anyway, but that's getting everybody in the process. So then, of course, he turned his attention to Trump. And by the way, I think my favorite thing about Dave Chappelle coming out and hosting SNL is he starts on purpose with a cigarette and smokes it and holds it and poses with it and then flicks it and gets some. It's not because I like smoking. I don't smoke. But I love to see somebody be willing to do that in an era where, oh, can he do that? Is that legal? You know, it's good. Good for you, Mr. Freedom. I like that.
I'll tell you something he did that made me crazy when he was running for president. When he was running for president, he said this at a debate.
Switching to Trump.
He said the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, were eating people's dogs and cats. That really upset me because I live in Ohio. In fact, I live... Now, what's up, Ohio? I live one town over from Springfield. Now, those of you who are from Ohio, I hope you know that's not what's happening in Springfield at all. What happened in Springfield is a lot of jobs went away. 20,000 Haitian immigrants were moved there by our government legally, and they pay market value for their rents, and they saved a lot of companies because they did jobs that the whites weren't doing. It's not that the whites couldn't do these jobs, but they were busy, you know, doing other things. Heroin, sleeping on the streets, you know what it is.
Oh, man. One more, and this is a little bit longer, but it's, you know, it's, I'm a big fan of Dave Chappelle. I like people who are funny, smart, who tell the truth, even if I don't agree with their conclusion. Jon Stewart, another good example. People that, you know, maybe I could never persuade them, but these are the people that make you think, pay attention, know what's going on. Those are my people. Those are the people that's my tribe. You know what I mean?
Those communities are immigrant communities who tend to be very successful. They don't come to America to not be rich. And when he said that community caught hell. There was like a jealousy that ran through the community, and there was nothing I could do about it. But because I was famous, I said, well, let me just be supportive. So every day, for like 10 days, I would drive a few miles over to Springfield and eat lunch at the Haitian restaurant. I let them know, if I'm safe here, you guys are definitely safe here. And to be honest with you, I don't know what that beat was.
I don't know what that meat was.
Or whatever it was, it fell right off the bone, I'll tell you that.
Like I said, it's the like, where is he going to dig this? But he'll find some place for it. 7:47 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There were some jokes I'm not going to play on the air. Some jokes I'll wait for another day. But I actually thought his comments about Trump, he didn't really make fun of Trump except for the Haitian thing that I remember. He didn't target the president. But he said some things about Carter and Trump that I thought were kind of interesting. I'll play that in just a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, you can visit watsonfirm.com. Still no accidents on the big board. Good job on that. I-10, I-110 is looking good. Not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. He said one thing that I thought was particularly weird. And, I mean, I think I understand it, but here's what he said.
Donald Trump's coming back. He'll be the 47th president. He's done it again. And all the flags will be at half staff, many of them, because Jimmy Carter died. Now, I got to tell you, Jimmy Carter, people go back and forth and say he was a bad president or a good president. I'm not qualified to even speak on that.
I thought that was a super weird thing to say, because as an American voter, the premise is we're all qualified to evaluate the president. If it's an office we have to vote for, then it's an office we're qualified to evaluate. Now, some are more, some are less informed, aware, rational, fine. But it's a weird humble brag. Like, he's clearly smart enough to evaluate the president. Why would he say it? Well, I mean, maybe it's just an aside. Maybe it's, I don't know. It was an odd, now, I actually was talking about this with my wife, and she said, maybe because he wasn't, you know, he's young 50s, maybe he was not, you know, he was only 4 or whatever, 8 when Carter was president, so he's not qualified to evaluate. Well, yeah, but you have views of presidents who were not aware when they were president. I mean, I have a view of Nixon and Ford and Carter and Reagan, and, you know, even though I was alive for some and not for others. Anyway, so I just thought that was a weird one. And then he told a really kind of a neat story about Carter. It's long. I'm not going to bother playing it, but just about Carter going to the West Bank when it was very unpopular to do so, and he admired him for that. But I thought actually his comments about Trump at the end were actually quite good. And weirdly, like just the right tone. So here, I'll play them for you.
The presidency is no place for petty people. So Donald Trump, I know you watch the show. Man, remember, whether people voted for you or not, they're all counting on you. Whether they like you or not, they're all counting on you. The whole world is counting on you.
Man, that is so true.
I mean this when I say this. Good luck. Please, do better next time. Please, all of us, do better next time. Do not forget your humanity, and please have empathy for displaced people, whether they're in the Palisades or Palestine. Thank you very much, and good night.
I mean, you can't argue with that. That's right. 750 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, Republican candidate for Congress, here in District 1 of Florida. I'm a proud Pensacola native, first-generation college student, and a Yale Law graduate. But it was when I was working at the cookie store in Cordova Mall as a teenager, helping my family pay the bills, that I truly learned the value of hard work. Now, I'm running for Congress to do what the establishment has failed to do. I promise to end this homeowner's insurance nightmare, streamline access to veterans' benefits, and take education back, local. I'm bringing new ideas along with fresh conservative leadership right when we need it most. On January 28th, elect a hometown leader you can trust and send your lawyer to Washington to fight for you. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I will be honored to earn your vote. I encourage you to learn more about what I stand for and see early voting locations. Please visit mdt4congress.com. That's mdt4congress.com.
Paid for and approved by Michael Dylan Thompson, Republican for Congress.
I'm Robert Bender, your supervisor of elections for Escambia County. The office of U.S. House of Representatives District 1 is open, and Governor DeSantis has called a special election to fill the vacancy. Please mark your calendars for these very important dates. The special Republican-only primary election is on January 28, 2025, and the special general election will be held on April 1st, 2025. For more information, go to EscambiaVotes.gov. That's EscambiaVotes.gov.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you sure you have the right person?
I'm sure.
Come on, do I look like the mother of the future?
Getting this if I don't force myself to do it right here. Every day I get done with the show, I'm like, oh man, I wanted to do that, and I wanted to do that. This is one of those neat little local things. It is 111 years of NAS Pensacola today. On the morning of January 20th, 1914, the battleship Mississippi and the coal ship Orion steamed through the Pensacola Pass toward the Navy Yard, which had been abandoned 3 years before. The Navy Yard had been there for a long time. In fact, the Navy Yard, I learned this from Mike Kohler. Did I have this clip? This is actually kind of an interesting story. Let me go find it. I did have it. Yeah, Mike Kohler, Commissioner Mike Kohler, during the recent Escambia County Commission meeting, was reading a proclamation in favor of the firefighters, but in the process taught me some things about, like, Warrington that I didn't know at all.
Whereas Escambia County recognizes the dedicated and unwavering service of the Warrington Volunteer Fire Department that contributes of its members to the rich history of the local community.
community. And whereas Warrington is named after Captain Lewis Warrington, who served as Secretary of the Navy from 1844 to 1846, and is one of three men Naval Committee who visited Pensacola in 1826 in search of the site for the Navy Yard, which became the current Naval Air Station. The Navy Yard converted the nation's first Naval Air Station, with the citizens of Warrington becoming its first employees, and several of them contributing to the growth of the new Warrington community, which continued to bloom through the 1940s.
I didn't know that's where the name Warrington came from. Did you know that, John?
No, I had no clue.
I did not either. A couple of years Secretary of the Navy and kind of the guy responsible for getting the Navy Yard going, apparently. So, which the Navy Yard was 1826 is when that started, I believe. Anyway, so it had gone into disrepair, and then, you know, NAS Pensacola was basically born 111 years ago. You know, you had nine officers, a dozen or so enlisted men, some wooden fabric seaplanes or flying boats as they were going to try and do, you know, naval aviation. Commander Lieutenant John Towers, the Navy's third aviator, establishing the station itself, Lieutenant Commander Henry Mustin, a name you know. Okay, everybody's heard Mustin. Commanding officer of the Mississippi, recorded first impressions in a letter to his wife, quote, "We have done some hustling since arrival, for the yard is a wreck, and the beach we have to use for hangars full of driftwood and all kinds of junk. The whole place is in scandalous condition, and I surely have a job on my hands. It looks as if it had been abandoned 50 years ago and since then has been used as a dump. However, there are fine possibilities in the place to establish the Navy's first aeronautical station on the site of the former Navy Yard again in 1914. So 111 years. Happy birthday, NES Pensacola. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 aren't showing any delays. Good news on that. Even Highway 90. Seeing a minor one if you're coming from Milton over into 87. If you're turning right there, you're going to see just a minor delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President-elect Trump will be using a Bible from his mother as well as the Lincoln Bible today for his swearing-in ceremony. His late mother gave him the Bible in 1955 for his primary school graduation, signed by church officials and inscribed with his name. The Lincoln Bible, of course, was first used at President Lincoln's swearing-in in 1861. TikTok is available for Americans again. The app was down Saturday until Sunday morning. In a statement, the company said President Trump has assured them that they would face no penalties for continuing to provide access to the app. And a typed early draft of the lyrics to Bob Dylan's Mr. Tambourine Man sold at auction. How much do you think that went for?
I always get these guesses wrong. All right. Way high or way low. I don't know.
Well, there we go. $508,000. The auction was held on Sunday.
That's what I was going to guess.
Amazing. Amazing. The lyrics apparently had been tossed in a trash can by Dylan in 1964 after he spent the night writing them at journalist Al Aronowitz's home in New Jersey. Aronowitz rescued them and passed them down to his kids when he died in 2005.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 757 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody says that it was a joint, not a cigarette. Oh, okay. I hadn't. Are you sure? I mean, okay. I wasn't paying close enough attention. And it says, also interesting you didn't play the part about Carter. Yeah, time. It was 80 seconds long. I did cut the clip. I thought it was an interesting story about Carter, but, you know, not that interesting that I didn't play it. Let's see. Somebody says, disagree about being qualified to evaluate historical presidencies. We're qualified to evaluate candidates, because Chappelle said he's not qualified to evaluate Carter. And to which I said, well, look, the ability to evaluate a candidate entails the ability to evaluate a former president. I mean, same things you have to be able to do. And this person writes back here, 437-1620, the ability to evaluate a historical presidency is an academic discipline which is distinct from having an opinion. And to be honest, most people aren't really qualified to evaluate candidates either. Oh, agree. He says, if it were, political ads would look a lot different. Agreed. And the economy wouldn't be nearly as central to presidential campaigns. Agreed. I mean, you know, the right to vote and the capacity to evaluate are different things, this person writes. People vote drunk all the time, and it's been the goal of more than one campaign to basically get people drunk to the vote for them. Agree about all that. But none of that it says that Chappelle can't evaluate Carter's presidency, which was the core thing, which I thought was, you know, false humility. Again, I think that you can claim that nobody's really qualified to evaluate presidents, or that only a very small cross-section of people with either academic training or proximity to the president are in a better position to do it. Fair enough. You know, you can make that argument. It's not totally wrong. But the premise of voting for president is that we are qualified to evaluate them, right? I mean, that's to figure out whether we should reelect them if they're a candidate, or whether we should elect them in the first place. So, I mean, if you say only a small number of people are really qualified to evaluate presidents, what you're kind of saying is only a small number of people should really be picking candidates. A position I respect. I mean, democracy is pretty stupid. Just we haven't figured out a better way to do it, you know? And so, agree, but then the entailments of that argument are a little bit unpleasant that usually people aren't willing to embrace so quickly. Snow tomorrow, maybe? Cold right now, for sure. Although right now it's, what, 27 with a wind chill factor of 27. Because not much wind. Run real fast, it'll feel colder. It's physics. You learn it in school.